तद्भिक्षव्येशनन्ताशं कृपया ब्रीषपीदितः सर्वभूता सुहृद्देव इदम् आहाशतिं प्रियम्। Translation: Sri Sukadev Goswami continue. Lord Shiva is always benevolent towards all living entities. When he saw that the living entities were very much disturbed by the poison which was spreading everywhere, he was very compassionate. Thus he spoke to his eternal consort, Sati, as follows. Sri Shiva uvacha, aho bata bhavanyetat, prajanam pasya vaishasham, shiri shiroda matabno bhutat, kalakutta upashtitam. Lord Shiva, translation, Lord Shiva said, my dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities has been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. Text 38. Asamprana paripshunam vidheyan abhajan hime etavan hi prabhor arto jatdina paripalanam. Translation: it is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly, it is the duty of the master to protect his suffering dependents. Text 39. Pranaiswai pranina panti. Sadava shanabangurai badha baire shubhuteshu muhite shvatmamayaya pranai swai pranina panti sadabhak shanabangurai badha baire shubhuteshu muhite shvatmamayaya pranai swai pranina panti sadhava shanabangurai badha baire shubhuteshu muhite shvatmamayaya.
Thank you.
Pranai by lives, Swai their own, Praninaha other living entities, Panti protect, Sadabaha devotees, Shanabangurai temporary, Bhada Bhaireshu unnecessary engaging animosity, Bhuteshu unto living entities, Muhiteshu bewildered, Atmamayaya by the external energy of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. People in general being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary life, try to save them. Purport. This is the characteristic of a Vaishnava, Paradukha Dukhi. A Vaishnava is always unhappy to see the conditioned souls unhappy. Otherwise, we have no business teaching them how to become happy. In the materialistic life, people most certainly engage in activities of animosity. Materialistic life, therefore, is therefore compared to samsara davanala, a blazing forest fire that automatically takes place. Lord Shiva and his followers in the parampara system try to save people from this dangerous condition of materialistic life. This is the duty of devotees following the principles of Lord Shiva and belonging to the Rudra Sampradaya. There are four Vaishnava Sampradayas, and the Rudra Sampradaya is one of them. Lord Shiva, Rudra, is the best of the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanjata Shambhu. Indeed, as we shall see, Lord Shiva drank all the poison for the benefit of humanity. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shajakaja Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Vishvadaya Krishna Vrsaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesheshe Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Bancha kalpatarubesha kripa sindhu vyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So this is the quality, one of the most prominent qualities of a Vaishnava is compassionate. So the word used here is paradukha dukhi, that although the devotee of the Lord has absolutely no problem, he is free from anxiety, he is free from miseries, he is perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied, the devotee carry just one burden and one problem, which is the unhappiness of others, which is quite remarkable and touching, very beautiful, in terms of, you know, when you come across with the glories and the pastimes of true history of the devotees of the Lord, how they don't have the necessity to actually put themselves, even at the risk of their own life, they don't have that necessity, but they do, because they're impelled for the benefit of people. So that is basically a standard. And where is this compassion comes that propels a devotee to do like that? I mean, you can feel sorry for you know, someone, you know, innocent people like that, and try to help. But the devotee goes as far as to even help people that are really feeling animosity towards them, towards the devotees. You know, in situations in which actually the suffering people don't want the help of the devotee. But the devotees still go even out of their way to do that. So why? Well, that quality comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's also described as Paradukkaduki. Paradukkaduki, what is it? Kripam Buddhi. Paradukkaduki Kripam Buddhi. This is a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So similarly, that he feels unhappiness by the unhappiness of people. And this is God, because he is an ocean of mercy. And because the devotee is very closely connected to the Lord, then naturally that compassionate nature is there. It is natural to feel compassion because, for the personality of Godhead, all living entities are his children. So the natural position of a parent is to care for the child. So it's natural. And for the devotee, as a very close, you know, is also is that they see that we all related. So that natural care is there. And we have such a great examples of through the Bhagavatam of devotees displaying this quality of compassion. And a famous one is Prahlad Maharaj. We, you know, a few months ago, we went through the passage of Prahlad Maharaj, and we went to this famous verse in which Prahlad Maharaj, when Lord Nrisingadev was offering any type of benediction to Prahlad Maharaj, you know, that whole session in which Prahlad Maharaj declined the benedictions of the Lord, explaining that, you know, the relationship between the two of them is not a business transaction. You know, it's not that, you know, he's expecting to receive some benefit out of his devotion to the Lord, because that will make it into a mercantile transaction. Rather, it's out of love. And then Prahlad Maharaj doesn't need anything. He say, you know, I'm actually fully satisfied and happy and protected and in the position that he was mercifully given by his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Because when he is absorbed in remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chanting his glories, he is completely satisfied. He has no problem. He is fearless. He's fully protected. And so he doesn't need a benediction. But he said, here's a translation of the verse. This is 7943. It's a famous verse. I don't know the Sanskrit, but I read the translation. All best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and country. I am simply concerned with love for them. So, what is the problem there with people who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries? Which is, you know, something that, you know, we can understand people should do. You know, it's just part of duties within, you know, the social structure. But the problem is that they consider fools and rascals because the word that Prahlad Maharaj uses, bimudhas. They're very mudhas. Mudha means like an ass. He is working very hard to try to make some sort of adjustment to find happiness in the material world. And they consider fools and rascals because it's an impossibility. The material world is designed to be a place in which there is no lasting happiness. Happiness in the material world is temporary, and therefore have no substance. That's what Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that of that there is impermanent, there is no substance. So there is no substance, and they try to achieve happiness in the material world, but the material world is designed as a place of miseries. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. So, in despite of all the endeavor to try to control material nature and to be happy in this world, they always find themselves that is an impossibility. Dai bihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. It's an impossibility to overcome this powerful divine energy of the Lord, this mama, this maya, what is it? What is the word that is used? Atma Mayaya, the external energy of the Lord. So, this desire to be happy in the material world by the regular people, it just put them in a condition of constant anxiety, suffering, and just creating increasingly hellish conditions for everybody. So the position is very bad. And not only that, because it's so self-centered, then obviously there's animosity. There's animosity that is naturally there between, you know, people, and between societies, countries, races, etc., etc. So, so the position is a great predicament, and the devotee is very concerned about it. The devotee is very concerned, and therefore, they put themselves in situations in which they can also be in great danger, but they do it, and they do it willingly because they want to bring happiness, teach the means to be happy to people in general. So the pure devotee who have absolutely is a different level of functioning, the Uttama Adhikari. The Uttama Adhikari is the type of experience of the Uttama Adhikari is described that they see everything equal. They just see spirit. the sea spirit soul, and they're in full contact with the whole spiritual energy. So they're fully satisfied. But the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the position of Madhyama Adhikari to actually be among people and be able to teach the means, you know, to actually be happy. And many times at the risk of their life, you know, we see the position of Lord Jesus Christ, that in order to deliver, you know, a very savage society, he basically was, you know, he gave up his life basically for that. He was tortured and beaten, and he had to, you know, for the purpose of giving them the means of God consciousness. We see the example of Haridas Thakur, who was beaten heavily in 20 different marketplaces by the Muslim on the order of the Muslim ruler, and he was so compassionate that even he was beaten so badly, but he was like basically unaffected, which was something that was quite mind-boggling. Usually it was explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that just that type of beating that he was receiving, just the second marketplace, he should have been dead. And he was supposed to go to 20 different marketplaces. And then he's beaten and beaten and beaten, and he's just chanting and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. By the end of the 20, you know, the soldiers who was beaten, and they were like, you know, finished. They didn't have any more strength, so they didn't know what to do, and they tell Haridas Thakur, please save us. Like, if we come back to the king, and we were not able to show them that, you know, we kill you, then he will kill us and kill all our families. So we don't know what to do. So Haridas Thakur said, don't worry. I will pass like death, and you can throw me in the Ganges. Throw my body in the Ganges. So he just, by, you know, yogic control, he stopped, you know, the breathing, and then, you know, and then the soldiers throw him in the Ganges, you know, and he just floated to the Ganges, you know, down, and then later he just regained his, you know, consciousness again. So he even showed this compassion to the people who were trying to kill him. So that's the great glories of the devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't accept a benediction for himself, but he asked a benediction to save his father. So then Prabhupada explains that as followers of the Vaishnavas, then it's also, you know, we are engaged in assisting the Vaishnavas in bringing auspiciousness to the world, and saving, you know, and helping conditioned souls to have the opportunity to be happy, to have the opportunity to connect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a very important aspect of life in devotion, because it's consistently, it's the mission, is because it's the desire of the Lord. The devotees are very well connected with the desires of the Lord, and the desires of the Lord is that everybody goes back home, back to Godhead. So it's consistent in the life of a devotee that they're constantly engaging in trying to bring fortune to others. And then for those who receive, who are being touched by the fortune, by the mercy of the devotees, then naturally, you know, you become a tool or an assistance on that mission. And that's the essence, you know, of what we are. So we are a preaching movement. We're not a movement of people pursuing for self-realization in a secluded manner. It will be very easy for the devotee just to stay, like Prabhupada. He was very happy in Vrindavan. He could have stayed there and go back home, back to Godhead. He was already back home, back to Godhead. But he took the risk. He took on the risk. He risked his life. He had two heart attacks on his way. So he risked to come to us and then deliver Krishna consciousness. So that's the order of Lord Chaitanya. We're not to be concerned too much with just our personal bhajan in terms of, you know, like we can make the best arrangement for us to have a very comfortable personal bhajan. That's not the identity of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. The identity of the Sankirtan movement is to be where people are and to deliver Krishna consciousness to others. And then sometimes the concern is there that, well, traditionally, Vaishnavas, they absorb themselves in their bhajan at the end. You know, the natural progression of devotional service is that it takes you you come to a position in which you now don't want any involvement with the material world and absorb yourself in the spontaneous devotional service. You start to get into this whole process of Siddha Pranali, and you know, to understand what is your eternal form in the spiritual world and to start to gear yourself towards that service in the spiritual world. By meditation, you actually following a particular personality in the spiritual world and being trained, or basically prepare to regain your service in the spiritual world. And in general, that is done in a secluded manner. So it's done by Babaji's. So it's part of our tradition. So the question has been many times that, well, you know, that is something that we ought to do. But the example and the directions that were being given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada is that the devotees are fully engaged till the end in the preaching of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. And so the question for regular devotees like ourselves is, well, you know, if we don't do this, then what will happen you know, then how will gain entrance into that, you know, position of, you know, your eternal swarup and being prepared for that? And the answer that has been given is, and you know, on the example of Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, even till his last breath, he wanted to continue traveling before, you know, right before you know, the last part of his pastimes here. He was going to come to the U.S. to Gita Nagari to sit down and help establish Vanashram. That was his plan. He say he wanted to die in the battlefield like Bhishma Dev. That was his mood. So then, but Prabhupada is Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you know, is a Shakti Avesha avatar. How about ourselves? You know, if we dedicate our life till the end, just simply to serve Prabhupada's Sankirtan mission, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, then what happened to us? Well, Prabhupada said that even if you're not perfect, and this is come from him, if you dedicate sincerely till your last breath to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, and it happens that you haven't achieved yet, you know, Krishna Prema, Lord Chaitanya personally will come and grab you by the sika and take you back home, back to Godhead. Like that. So, and then we see it. It has been examples in our society of devotees that no doubt, just by the circumstances and the symptoms, that they went back home, back to Godhead. And there's no question in that. I mean, one example is Jayananda Prabhu. Prabhupada himself, he instructed the society to respect Jayananda Prabhu's departure. And in the same way, you know, it's in the calendar, along with the other Vaishnava Acharya's disappearance. And when we hear the pastimes of Jayananda, he was just like a regular devotee. But, you know, one time I remember someone telling the pastimes of Jayananda Prabhu, and he will have, you know, a sort of a Brahmin thread, sort of like tight and very short and, you know, a little dirty. And then he would try to do his Gayatri, and then the devotee noticed that, you know, he was sort of sleeping, you know, a little bit, and then, you know, asking Prabhu, you know, you're chanting your Gayatri, you know. And then Jayananda Prabhu say, you know, actually, I'm going to tell you a secret. I forget the mantra. So, you know, it's not like he was like, you know, the paka perfect, you know, like, you know, from the external perspective. But his dedication to Prabhupada's movement, his dedication to actually touch people with Krishna consciousness, his humility, his mood of service, there was no doubt that this person was a saint. You know, so many people was touched by Jayananda Prabhu. And even when he was very sick, he still was working, you know, long hours just building the Ratra Yatra cars. Like that Ratra Yatra car that we see, well, the original huge Ratra Yatra car was built by Jayananda Prabhu. So back home, back to Godhead. And then we see, you know, Mother Yamuna. There's no doubt, back home, back to Godhead. There was one devotee, what's the name of the first book distributor? Buddhimanta Prabhu. Buddhimanta Prabhu. Buddhimanta Prabhu, he was the first devotee who distributes big books. He was the one who broke, you know, the society in distributing big books. Before that, the devotees used to distribute Back to Godhead magazines. And, you know, to break into distributing Back to Godhead magazines, the devotees have to, you know, they have to, it was a great achievement just to be able to stop someone and give them a magazine and get a donation. That was a big thing for the society. And, you know, as the time passed, you know, devotees got the, you know, started to feel comfortable with, okay, we can do this, yeah. So we were distributing in the society a lot of Back to Godhead magazines. And then, boom, Prabhupada comes with the Krishna book. You know, all of a sudden, you have these piles of Krishna books, big books. Actually, the original Krishna book was huge, you know? Was like something like this, you know, like, was a big book, you know, and, you know, not a cheap book, it was, expensive, and then, how in the world we're going to get to distribute this? Because Prabhupada's order was, well, now we have all these boxes and shipments of books, they have to be distributed, so it was an order. No one has a clue how to do it. You know, now we're distributing magazine, all of a sudden we have to distribute this big book and we have to ask for the price for it. We can't just not give it like that. So Buddhimanta Prabhu discovered how to, he was the first one who was able to do it, and he did it. The way he did it was in the gas station. They were traveling Sankirtan, and they were distributing Back to Godhead magazines, and they have the boxes of Krishna books, you know, in the vehicle, but they were not, you know, figured it out how to distribute. So Buddhimanta Prabhu, they were putting gas, and then they didn't have enough money, so he went and say, I can pay you with a very nice book. So he pulled the Krishna book and showed to the gas person, and he accepted. And then, whoa, you know, distributed, you know, a Krishna book, the first Krishna book that was distributed. Then he got bold and started to, you know, do it. And then eventually he became, you know, an expert in doing Krishna book and inspired so many others to do Krishna book, big books. So he was a big book distributor, you know, for many years. But by some circumstance, he fell down. So he left the movement, and he disappeared for something like 20 years, something like that, Jitendra. You know? He was where? Evanston Temple. So you may know some pastimes of Buddhimanta Prabhu. Microphone.
There was a devotee named Pragosh.
Pragosh, and, big book distributor.
Buddhimanta, I think he didn't want to go out on Sankirtan that day, and Pragosh says, it's the best thing you can do. You're really not expert at other things, so you should come with me and go out on book distribution. I kind of remember that. You know, and then...
That was after he came back, or that was...
No, this was before he left.
Before he left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he left, and he left for a long time, something like 20 years or something like that. And when he reappeared again, he reappeared with a terminal illness. You know, some brain tumor cancer thing that he had, you know, it was going to kill him. And the devotees contacted him. He appeared, and then immediately the devotees, you know, I can't remember who took care of Buddhimanta Prabhu, but one of the sannyasis, you know, several, they immediately came to his aid and then took him to Vrindavan. So that was the arrangement. He was taken to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan he was taken care of by the devotees, and in the holy dam in Vrindavan, with the caring and association of the devotees, he became fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Everything came back. And when he left his body with all the signs of auspiciousness. You know, devotees chanting around him, you know, garlands of Radha Shama Sundara, tulsi leaves, you know, deities, everything there, you know, everything that shows that he went back to Godhead. In the holy dam of Vrindavan, he left his body. And that was, you know, that was in a matter of, you know, he appeared with a terminal illness that, you know, took him in a few months after he appears, he left his body. But when he left his body, his consciousness was, it is explained, the devotees, Danora Maharaj was explaining that, he was there with Buddhimanta Prabhu, that his consciousness was fully focused on Krishna. Even most of his devotional career, he left Krishna. But because he dedicated his life sincerely and he pleased Prabhupada so much and he assisted Prabhupada in something so important, you know, part of Prabhupada's mission, he got that situation. So that is the position of that is the identity of us as ISKCON devotees. We're gonna die on Sankirtan. That's all we do. We don't have to worry of anything but assisting Prabhupada in spreading the Sankirtan mission. That's all. And that's the legacy that we've been given. That's the Paraduka Duki. And we are assisting, you know, in that way. And by that, you know, we will be surrounded by auspiciousness and go back to Godhead. If we can maintain that. If we do it, you know, sincerely. Comments or questions? Yes.
I have two questions, but if anyone else has a question, I can just ask one. So I've heard a couple times some senior devotees say, like, I'm trying to figure out how to word it exactly. Like they said, like, even if you become guru, if you still have desires, material desires, you won't go back to Godhead. Or if you're attached to one ladu, you won't go back to Godhead. If you have to come back to the material world to live out that desire. And then they make it like it's so almost nearly impossible. But then you hear just engaging in Sankirtan, and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya will come pick us up like that. Like, you can even leave Krishna consciousness. But if you dedicate so much of your energy and do so much for Sankirtan, even if you fall down, you're still going back to Godhead. So it seems that, that's clear. There's clearly examples of that happening. So I'm wondering, where does that perspective come of how difficult and how pure you have to be to go back to Godhead?
You have to be. But the thing is that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then he he puts what is missing and he takes what is not. You know, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he preserves what you have and he, you know, and he provides what you lack. You know, so by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then like Buddhimanta Prabhu, you know, he was in a different space before going to Vrindavan. When the devotees took him to Vrindavan, he was in a different space of consciousness. At the end of his life, he was in perfect Krishna consciousness, back home, back to God consciousness, back to Godhead consciousness. And that happens by the touch of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, by their mercy, because, you know, by a special. Now, it's not a, you know, equal to each one of us, but the principle, same principle apply, you know. That, and you see in so many devotees that leave their bodies, that are dedicated to Prabhupada, serving Prabhupada, you know, that arrangement is made, and then you see that at the end they're perfectly situated, so their purity is there, they have no more desires. Sometimes they say like that there's a Mataji who left her body from South Africa, I can't remember her name, that she was saying like that, I have no more desires for this world, and you know, now it's a fully realized thing. No, it's amazing. I mean, you see the videos of the passing of Srila Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. It's like, wow, you know. Of course, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj was, you know, in back home, back to Godhead consciousness throughout. But I'm saying that, you know, is Krishna. Krishna will do the arrangement, and then by that time we're ready by his grace. That answer? And the other question?
Yeah. And the purport speaks about teaching others how to be happy. And I just, specifically my question is like, how do we become happy, or what is the proper way to be happy while practicing sadhana bhakti? Because sometimes it seems like if you express your happiness, sometimes you're offending others, or it seems like you're supposed to be more serious. There's this mood of like being grave and sober. Then sometimes if you're expressing your happiness, you might you know, make other people feel uncomfortable or things like that. I'm just wondering how to properly be happy as when you're practicing Krishna consciousness, because we have to be happy to teach others. That's the point. And oftentimes,
there is.
Oftentimes, you see, like we're out on book distribution. If you're not happy, the books won't go out. If you're in a bad mood, why would anyone take a book from you? Or if you're chanting out on the streets and you're not happy, no one's going to listen to you.
Yeah, the thing is that we have preconceptions of what happiness is, you know, according to, you know, it's like, you know, TJ just did, you know, it's like, oh, I'm doing, you know, spins and things like that, you know, and being like, oh, enthusiastic and cheerleading, you know, like, you know. That's not necessarily describe, you know, happiness. I mean, you can be very sober and still, you know, you can see the self-satisfaction and peacefulness and happiness, you know, that is there. So happiness that is a product of this material conception is self-centered. You know, it's, oh, I'm happy, I'm really having a great time, you know, this is all about me, you know. And then what is that? Yes, you can offend people, Because we're not, the reason we offend people is when we're not thoughtful. We're just absorbing ourselves and unconscious about others. You know? So, like, you know, being sort of like, oh, I'm a happy fellow in a circumstance that it doesn't call for that. I don't know, a funeral or something like that, you know. So you have to be, one has to be thoughtful, one has to be conscious. And happiness doesn't necessarily get expressed by, you know, exuberance, but it can be expressed by being sober, being, you know, grave, when it calls for that, you know. But the enthusiasm and the inner, you know, balance and peacefulness, the lack of anxiety, you know, the gratitude of doing something, all that stuff comes across, you know. Like, say, sometimes, you know, in book distribution, we may have a hard time, you know, or for whatever circumstance. You can see that affects, you know, your capacity to connect to people. And then you see personalities like Vaisheshika Prabhu doing book distribution. And he's able to connect to anyone. It's amazing. You know, I mean, people that you, how in the world, I mean, I will never be able to even approach someone like this. And he does, and he distributes a big, you know, a pile of books, you know, and they're loving him, you know. I mean, like, he is amazing just to see Vaisheshika Prabhu in action distributing books, isn't it? You know, and you see the joy, the, you know, the, it's like, you know, how can you refuse, you know, that, you know, it's like when you're by him, it's like, yeah, whatever you give me, I take, you know, type of thing. It's because of that, you know, like joy of sharing the some most beautiful thing that he has, you know, and he's just like, you know, how can you refuse? You know, so I think that's the happiness that we're trying to learn. And one way that we learn and we receive happiness is Lord Chaitanya's system. You know, the more he give and the more you share what he's giving you, then you have a bigger capacity to receive more. So that's how it works. So the more you give what you're receiving, the greater capacity you have to receive more. So it's increasing, increasing, increasing. So it's a pretty fantastic system. We're learning to be happy, and as we engage ourselves to help others be happy, we become even a greater receptacle for the mercy. You know, to understand that. Any other thing? Back to Mitch Brew.
We just had a Varnashram Dharma retreat, and I'm wondering if you could comment how the farm communities play a part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission.
Yeah. The whole idea is that with Varnashram, the system itself is to accommodate everybody, you know, in the different levels of consciousness, in a situation that is very harmonious with Krishna's creation. So it's in reality is the only means for a society to be organized in such a way that is prosperous and happy. Otherwise, no chance. So, you know, we're teaching people the means to be happy, but we have to have a model of a society in which people can, okay, you know, we can, rather than to be in this Ugra Karma type of arrangements, you know, in these urban sort of big cities, factories, you know, stuff, people start to see the alternative of living off the land in the mode of goodness, according to, you know, the system that has been provided by Krishna. So, you know, it works hand to hand. We're in Kali Yuga, and we're, you know, the Iron Age, Age of Quarrel, and there's a big, important aspect of our mission, Sankirtan mission, to be right in the belly of the beast, you know. And but for the ones who are taking out of the belly of the beast, then, you know, provide the alternative, to create a society that is more godly. So it is important. That's the whole idea. Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.